tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from radio's golden age. I'm Mark Lipponier. In this hour, sitcoms. Later on, we hear an undated broadcast of Father Knows Best, but first, it's The Great Gildersleeve, an NBC episode from January 23rd, 1944.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
The Kraft Cheese Company will also bring you the Kraft Music Hall every Thursday night. Present each week at this time, Harold Perry as The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Wheaton and Sam Moore. Now let's look in on the Great Gildersleeve, whom we find at home and at peace in the bosom of his family. Having just enjoyed a quiet dinner with his niece and nephew, Marjorie and Leroy, he pushes back his chair from the table and reaches in his vest pocket for an after-dinner cigar.
Oh, thought I had one.
Cigar? I'll get you one.
Well, thanks. Are we in your way here, Bertie?
Oh, no, sir, Mr. Gildersleeve. Just sit still. I hope you don't mind if I clear away the dishes, though. I got a meeting tonight down at the church.
What's the meeting about, Bertie?
Religion and the post-war world. I'm supposed to bring the donuts.
Here's your cigar, Unc. Shall I bite the end off for you?
Oh, I'll attend to that myself, thank you. Match.
I've got one.
Oh, thanks.
I'll light it for you.
Well, such service.
You got it?
Yeah, I've got it.
You sure it's lit?
Oh, it's lit.
I could light it again. I've got another match.
This is quite sufficient, thank you.
Are you enjoying it? Leroy, what's come over you?
Now, Marjorie, let's be thankful for small favors and ask not whence they come. Leroy has been a very good boy lately, hasn't he, Bertie?
He sure has. He ain't been himself all week.
Phone. I'll answer it.
I wish, Marjorie, you tell your friends not to disturb us during meals.
Hello? Yeah, this is Leroy. Who's this? Oh, hello, Miss Goodwin.
Miss Goodwin?
Yeah, he's here. Just a minute, please.
I'll take it, Leroy.
Just a minute.
Give me the phone. You're keeping Miss Goodwin waiting.
Before I forget it, Unc, I've got a report card for you to sign. I've been meaning to show it to you, but it kept slipping my mind.
Give me that phone, Leroy. Hello, Eve? Oh, how are you? Well, it's been weeks. Leroy?
Uh-oh.
You stick around, young man. Excuse me, Eve. Why, yes, I'd like very much to talk about him. I'll come to school with him Monday. No, I'll tell you. Why don't you come to dinner tomorrow night? Could you do that? Fine. About 7, and we'll have a nice long talk. Goodbye. In the meantime, I'm going to have a nice long talk. Leroy, you come back here.
I'm not going anywhere, Unc.
You bet you're not. You come into the dining room.
Is there something you want?
No, young man.
It slipped my mind, Unc, honest.
What did? What slipped your mind?
The report card. I forgot to show it to you.
Hmm. Where is this report card?
I've got it right here in my pants pocket.
Let's have a look at it.
Yes, sir. It's stuck. I can't seem to get it out.
Perhaps I can help you.
Oh, no. No, I've got it. There. Report card.
Leroy.
Well, the teacher doesn't like me, Unc.
I don't blame her. Besides, I've heard that before.
What did he get, Uncle Mort?
Never you mind.
Never mind.
You keep out of this, young man.
Yes, sir.
How long have you had this report?
3 weeks.
3 weeks?
I didn't want to spoil your Christmas.
You mean you didn't want to spoil your Christmas? Leroy, this is a very serious matter.
Yes, sir.
How could you deliberately deceive me that way after all I've done for you?
I forgot, Unc.
You did not forget. Now, don't keep saying that.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, Mr. Gildersleeve. If you don't mind, I'll run along now and leave the dishes till later.
Just a minute, Bertie.
Yes, sir?
Bertie, what would you think of a boy who would deliberately hide a report card from his uncle?
Oh, now, I don't think Leroy would do a thing like that. He probably just forgot.
That's right. I forgot.
Quiet, you. Bertie, when we want your opinion, we'll ask for it.
Well, excuse me. I thought you did. Well, I'll be going now.
Why, George Leroy, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. It seems to me you just go from bad to worse.
Yes, sir.
You won't study, you have no manners, you won't brush your hair.
You think he might clean his nails before he comes to the table, too?
Oh, yeah? Let's see yours, I dare you.
There, yeah.
Well, they'd look a lot better with that red stuff on them.
All right, how about that note from the teacher you didn't deliver?
All right, how about the time you and Wally took the car out without permission?
Stop it, both of you. I'm not interested in any tales told out of school. If anything I abhor, it's a tattletale. I refuse to listen to anything of the sort.
What's this about taking the car out, Marjorie?
Aren't you going to ask him about the teacher's note?
I'm asking you about the car.
Uh-huh.
All right, Leroy, what about the note?
I lost it.
That's not true. I found it when...
Oh, Snoopy and wastebasket, hey?
Now, just a minute, you two. Leroy, what was in that note?
How should I know? It was addressed to you.
What was in the note?
It said, where's the report card?
Young man, do you know what happens to people who tamper with the mails? They go to the penitentiary.
Oh, gosh, I didn't...
They go there for 5, 10, 15 years, maybe life.
Gosh.
I'm having a talk with your principal about you tomorrow. I'll suspend sentence till I get the facts from her. She's coming here to dinner, and I want you to make a good impression for once.
Oh, I will.
Not if you look the way you do now.
What's the matter with the way I look now?
Those pants. Look at them. Look at the knees.
They're the only pants I got, Unc.
That's ridiculous. You've got plenty of pants. I bought you pants only last... Well, we'll buy you some more. Now, stick your shirt tail in. And look at those shoes, Leroy. They're not a month old. What do? Kick rocks with them?
I don't do a thing. They just get that way.
By George, you're going down to Hogan Brothers with me the first thing in the morning. Beginning tomorrow, young man, we're starting a campaign here. A campaign to make you look and act like a respectable human being.
Uncle Mort, look over here. It's the cutest suit for Leroy.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, where is it, my dear?
Over here on this model. See? Standing on the counter.
Oh, Unc, you don't want me to look like a wax dummy.
You're never clean enough to look like a wax dummy, Leroy. By George, that just isn't the suit I had. Well, I kind of like that. Yes, gentlemanly. But at the same time, perfectly comfortable. Ought to wear well, too. Flannel, wonderful stuff. How do you like it, Leroy?
Where would I wear a suit like that?
What do you mean, where would you wear it? You wear it this evening at supper. Wear it to school. Just wear it, that's all.
Nobody wears clothes like that, huh?
Well, gentlemen do. And you're going to look like a gentleman for a change. Or the devil's a salesman. Let's buy the darn suit and get out of here.
Well, I thought you were going to get him some shoes, Uncle Mort. Suit will look awful with those old elk-hide things.
Oh, for corn's sake, these shoes are all right if they were only shined.
Well, why don't you shine them? I gave you a shoe polishing kit last Christmas, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well?
The stuff is all dried up.
Confound it, that's because you left the cover off. That's typical of you, Leroy. You have no regard for the value of anything. You leave the cover off the polish, naturally it dries up. What's the consequence? You can't polish your shoes. What's the consequence? They dry up. And what's the consequence of that?
My feet dry up?
No, I have to buy you a new pair of shoes. You think money grows on trees?
Uncle Mort.
Huh?
Well, sir, what can I do for you this morning?
I want to look at some suits.
Yes, sir. For yourself or for the little fellow?
For the boy. He likes that one up there on the model.
Oh, Unc.
Oh, stop squawking, Leroy. You can't dress like a 10-year-old all your life.
Who asked you?
Nobody asked me, but
then
I...
keep your big nose out of it.
Leroy?
Why, you little...
Marjorie, stop this, both of you.
Well, got quite a handful there, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Come on, let's try on the suit.
I'm sorry, sir, but I'm afraid the one on the model would be too large for the little fellow.
I was afraid of that, Unc.
Never mind, let's see the next size smaller.
That suit on the model is the only one like it in the store.
Let's try it on anyway. He'll grow into it.
Whatever you say, sir, it is a lovely piece of material, imported type flannel.
Imported type?
Yes, sir, it is like imported flannel, but it's made in our own mills right in this country.
Oh, well, try on the coat, Leroy.
Okay.
Well, that's not bad for size, not bad at all.
I think it looks fine, but you can't really tell with that awful polo shirt.
Yeah, that's right, my dear. Give the boy a shirt and a tie so we can get an idea of the suit.
You mean you want to buy
him? Yes, I want to buy him a shirt and a tie. A white shirt.
Yes, sir. What neckband, sonny?
12 and a half.
You ought to have a bigger neck than that, Leroy. Bring him a 14.
Yes, sir. I could just slip a tape measure around and make sure.
Bring him a 14.
Size 14, the gentleman says, and a necktie.
While he's getting the shirt, Leroy, slip into those pants.
Where'll I go?
You don't have to go anyplace. Just stand behind me.
Gosh, you want me to feel like a shoplifter?
Don't be ridiculous. Get into those pants.
Well, make Marge turn around.
Oh, Leroy. Uncle Mort, do you think while we're here I might look at a few blouses?
Are you thinking in terms of your allowance, my dear?
Oh, yes. That is my February allowance.
Oh, farewell. All right. But make it snappy. Oh,
I'll be right back.
Yes, sir. Here's the shirt and tie. Oh, what happened to the little fellow? Oh.
Here I am.
Now, put these on, Leroy.
Okay.
Bring him a pair of shoes, too.
Yes, sir. Got a shoe stamp?
No, not with me. But I got plenty of them at home.
I'm sorry. Hogan Brothers cooperate 100% with the OPA.
I want the boy to try on a pair of shoes. If they're any good, I'll send them down with the stamps this afternoon.
Yes, sir.
And I'll thank you not to question my patriotism. What size shoes, Leroy?
4.
Little feet will be growing soon. Bring him 5.
Yes, sir.
Black Oxfords.
Yes, sir.
Will you tie the tie for me, Unc?
Yeah, give it to me. Hold still. Hold your head up, Leroy. I can't see through your skull.
Okay.
When I was your age, I could tie a bow tie and a 4-in-hand. There.
And here are the shoes for the little fellow.
Stop calling him a little fellow.
Thanks, Tom.
Put on the shoes, my boy. How much will all this be?
Well, let me see. It will be 13, 50, shirt, $1.10, tie, 75, shoe, 55, and be 21, 25,
21.86.
Oh, my goodness. Here, put on the coat, Leroy, and let's see if it's worth it. How do the shoes feel? Walk around in them a little bit.
They're so big, they feel better than the old ones.
Yeah. Well, by George, you look like a gentleman.
Yes, he looks fine.
Come over here and look at yourself in the glass, my boy.
I don't like to put you to all this expense, huh?
Oh, don't worry about it. You can wear these clothes till you're 16.
Oh, Leroy.
Well, you look simply lovely. Thanks. Oh, and I found 2 dresses upstairs for myself that I'm just crazy about. And just think, Uncle Mort, both of them for only $26.
$50 to get Leroy dressed for supper. Young man, your manners had better be perfect.
Now let's get back to the great Gildersleeve. It's Saturday evening and a very uncomfortable one for Leroy, for the principal of his school has come to dinner. But somehow he's lived through it, and now everyone has repaired to the living room where Leroy has been called upon to perform for Miss Goodwin.
Why, I had no idea the boy was so musical, Throckmorton.
Well, he comes by it naturally, I suppose.
Oh, play something else. Please do.
He can't. That's the only piece he knows.
Oh, yeah?
Leroy! Leroy! Past your bedtime now, son, I'm afraid. Say goodnight to Miss Goodwin.
So soon?
Yeah. I have to get up and get plenty of sleep so I can get up early tomorrow and study.
Don't overdo it, Leroy.
Good night, Miss Goodwin.
Good night, Leroy.
Leroy. Huh.
Good night, sister dear. Oh, for goodness sake.
Great chums, these children.
Good night, Uncle Mort.
Good night, Leroy.
Are you kidding?
Leroy! Go to bed, my boy.
Here's the accident of coffee, Mr. Gilsey. Where's the...
Set it on the table here, Bertie. I'll clear space.
Oh, thank you, sir. I'm afraid I'm going to have to ask you to help me get down them Demitasse cups. We ain't used them in so long. They're on the top shelf.
That's all right, Bertie. Miss Goodwin won't object to a regular-sized cup, I'm sure.
Oh, not at all.
After all, we're just home folks here.
Them little ones ain't big enough to put in your eye anyway. I like a man-sized cup myself.
Bertie's a jewel.
You're very lucky to have her.
Well, Uncle Mort, I guess I'd better be going, too.
What? Not to bed on a Saturday night?
No, I thought I'd go down to the public library for a while and read.
Huh?
Good night, Miss Goodwin. It was so nice you to come over.
Good night, Marjorie. It was so good to see you again.
Good night, Unky, darling.
Good night. I'll leave the key under the doormat in case the library closes late.
She's such an attractive girl.
I don't know, though. She's been getting out of hand a little too lately. But it's the other one I'm worried about, Leroy.
Oh, I don't really think you need worry about Leroy.
Leroy, I mean.
It's just that he's going through that difficult age.
How long does it last? Seems to me he's been going through it ever since I've known him.
Well, boys will be boys. There's nothing really wrong with Leroy. I've talked with his teacher about him, and we both feel that all he needs is guidance.
Well, I punish him regularly, about twice a week.
Well, I don't mean quite that.
Here's the cups, Mr. Gillsleeve.
Oh, thank you, Bertie.
Anything else?
No, I think we've got everything, thanks. Will you pour, Eve?
I'd be delighted. I love having coffee in the evening, don't you?
Sure do. I like it for breakfast, too. And for lunch.
Throckmorton, has it ever occurred to you that Leroy might need a mother?
Well, I've tried to be a father to him.
Well, you have, and I admire you for it. Everyone does.
Well, he's a good kid. They're both good kids.
But don't you think they need someone who can give them what a mother has to give them?
Well, I never thought of it that way. Maybe you're right.
Someone who would be not only a guide and mother to them, but what you have yourself to think of, too. After all, a house without love isn't much of a home. You must have felt that.
You know, it's funny you saying that. I almost got married about a year ago. I guess I told you.
Yes, you told me.
Then I sort of gave up the idea. Maybe I shouldn't.
Well, we've all had our disappointments. I don't think you should let one unfortunate affair sour you on the whole idea. If at first you don't succeed.
Yeah. Eve, you're wonderful. You don't know what you've done for me this evening. You've made up my mind for me.
Well, have I, Throckmorton?
For months now, I've been this way and that. Should I or shouldn't I?
I know, I have too.
But when you bring up the children, that settles it. By George, I'll do it.
Oh, you seem very sure of yourself, Mr. Gildersleeve. After all, you haven't asked the girl, you know.
Listen, with Beauregard out of the way, Lilo will marry me in a minute. Eve, is something wrong?
If you'll excuse me, I think I'd better be going.
But Eve, so early? You haven't even finished your coffee.
I'll get my own wrap, thank you.
Eve, you can't rush off like this.
Thank you for a very pleasant evening and good night.
Good
night.
Miss Goodwin ain't left already. Mr. Gillsleeve, what's wrong?
You're a woman, Bertie. You tell me.
Now, where are you going?
I'm going out and take a walk for myself. I just can't understand it, fellas. One minute she's as cool as a cucumber, gives me plenty of good sound advice, and the next minute she walks out in a huff.
I tell you, gentlemen, the deviousness of a woman's mind and the inconsistency of her whims are enough to discourage a man from having anything to do with the entire sex.
Well, no. I wouldn't say that.
Peavy? You mean to tell me Mrs. Peavy never has any whims?
Well, I wouldn't say that either. But when you've been married as long as I have, you begin to notice that the same old whims keep coming up. And if you're smart...
If you're smart, you wouldn't be married.
Well, Judge, why so bitter?
I'm not being bitter, Gildy. I'm simply facing facts.
Well, Judge, people have been getting married now for quite some time. There must be something in it.
Oh, don't misunderstand me. I have nothing against marriage. I'm all in favor of it. For other people.
Yeah, for other people.
Now, our friend Gildersleeve here has obligations. He has children. Man in his position ought to get married.
That's the judge, always thinking of others.
Besides, I think marriage would be a great thing for Gildersleeve. Might make him less ornery, huh, Peavy?
I wouldn't want to guarantee that.
Just think, Gildy. You'd come home at night. There'd be the little woman waiting for you in a pretty little apron, and Leroy all scrubbed and brushed and smiling. I can see it now.
I can't.
After dinner, you wouldn't have to spend your evening hanging around drugstores talking to old goats like me and Peavy. No, you could settle down to a nice, dull game of dominoes.
Now, there you're wrong, Judge. It just so happens that the lady I have in mind can't stand dominoes. You can say what you please, but the more I think of it, the better I like it.
Let me ask you, Gildersleeve. Have you any reason to think the lady of your choice would have you, even if you ask her?
She'll have me, don't worry. That's one thing about her. She may have her faults, but at least I know where I stand with her.
One other thing. You haven't told us yet who the lady is.
Wouldn't you like to know?
Well, I always said it was a pity you didn't marry Leela. Of course, I didn't mean it. I still have some hopes in that direction myself. But if you found someone else...
I thought you said marriage was not for you.
Well, don't believe everything you hear.
Well, I guess I'll be toddling along. I've got business to attend to.
Say, Peavy, come here a minute.
Yes?
You know what I think? If you just ask me...
What are you two whispering about over there?
Don't you...
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
Come on, what are you two talking about?
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, there's one thing we'd like to know.
What's that?
Has the lady in question met Leroy?
Well, she knows what she's getting into, don't worry.
And she's still willing to marry you? Then I'd say it was a perfect match, wouldn't you, Peavy?
I'd say it was ordained in heaven. Good luck, Mr. Gildersleeve.
I don't need luck, Peavy. This is in the bag. Come on, confound it. It's too cold to keep anybody standing outdoors today.
Oh, it's you, Throckmorton. Oh, come in. Take off your things. I'll be with you in a jiffy. I'm talking on the phone.
She knew what I'm here for. She wouldn't keep me standing around. Yeah.
Hello? Are you still there? Oh, nobody you'd be interested in.
If she only knew.
Well, I did have the most marvelous time the other night. Oh, you shouldn't say things like that. Not unless you really mean them. Oh, you doctor.
Hargrave. I'll spike his guns.
Well, make it soon, Arthur.
Arthur?
Real soon, you hear? Goodbye. Oh, Throckmorton, this is quite a surprise seeing you this evening. I'll come in and sit down, won't you?
Hi, George, that fire looks good.
I got so cold I just had to have it this morning. You don't suppose it needs another log, do you?
Log? Yeah, I suppose it does.
You might give it a little poke, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. Now the room will be cozier.
I didn't come over here to be cozy, Leela. That is, well, I've got good news for you.
Oh, how interesting.
Yes, I've been thinking a good deal lately.
Oh, excuse me, Throckmorton. I've got something here I know you'll be crazy to see.
But, Leela, I was about to say...
You remember my sister Winfield, don't you? She was here for a few days last spring, married to an army captain.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, she just had a baby last week, and she sent me these snapshots of him. Isn't he adorable?
Looks just like your sister. What I was going to say...
Well, Leela... I certainly thought you'd show more interest in Winfield's child, Throckmorton.
Confound it, Leela. I've got something I want to say to you.
Well, go on and say it, Throckmorton, if it's so vital.
It's tied up with my future.
Mm-hmm.
It's tied up with your future, too.
Mm-hmm.
What I was thinking, Leela, is, I've got to have somebody to look after Leroy.
Well.
And I thought as long as we almost got married once, and Leroy is pretty hard to handle, maybe for his sake we ought to go ahead and do it.
Mr. Gildersleeve.
What?
I'm sure I can't imagine how I could have ever considered marrying you at any time.
But, Leela...
Kindly leave my house, Mr. Gildersleeve. Your presence is most unwelcome.
Unwelcome? Oh, my goodness. Now what have I done wrong?
Who's that?
It's me, Leroy. Were you asleep, my boy?
Well, I hadn't been asleep very long.
Oh, I see. I just thought I'd say goodnight.
Okay, goodnight, Unc.
If I ever seem a little harsh with you, my boy, don't hold it against me. I get worried about you every once in a while.
About me?
Mm-hmm. I get to thinking maybe I haven't looked after you carefully enough.
Don't worry about that. You look after me plenty.
Well, I want you to feel free to come to me with any problems that are bothering you.
I will if I get any.
Come and talk to me the way, well, the way a boy might talk to his mother.
Okay.
You don't think you need a mother particularly, do you?
You mean right now?
Yes.
Unc, you're not going to go and
No, get... no. That is, well, there's nothing very immediate anyway.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I think we're doing pretty well the way we are. You're a pretty good boy.
Okay, let's not bring in any outsiders.
I won't. Well, good night, Leroy. You can go back to sleep now.
Back to sleep? Oh, yeah. Say, Unc, as long as you're here, how about signing my report card before I forget it?
Oh, yes, yeah.
It's right there on the dresser.
All right. Signature, parent, or guardian. Yes. Throckmorton P. Gilder Sleeve. There.
Thanks a million, Unc. Good night.
Good night, my boy. Sweet dreams. By the way, Leroy, the next time you're reading in bed and you hear me coming, don't turn out the light. It works better if you pretend you fell asleep with the light on.
What?
Yeah. Good night.
Gosh, what a character.
The Great Gildersleeve on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC broadcast from the 23rd of January, 1944. Just 3 days earlier on the same network, Harold Perry, who starred as Gildersleeve, was special guest on the Abbott and Costello Show, where they played football with this character. This is an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVonier. Coming up next, an undated broadcast of Father Knows Best, most likely from the later 1940s on NBC.
Percent Bran Flakes really the best tasting cereal of them all?
Well, your father says so, and father knows best.
Yes, it's Father Knows Best, transcribed in Hollywood, starring Robert Young as father. A half-hour visit with your neighbors, the Andersons. A wedding ring has quite generally been considered the key to bliss and happiness. But then, if one is to consider certain events which occurred recently at the White Frame House on Maple Street, one must admit that a wedding ring is capable of stirring up a few domestic problems, especially if the ring has a loose stone. The aforementioned chain of events had its beginning in the Anderson kitchen a few evenings ago, when Margaret, maternal head of the Anderson family, was washing dishes with reluctant help from daughter Betty. Like this.
Actually, Mother, I shouldn't even be doing dishes tonight. It's Kathy's turn.
Well, a little extra dish wiping isn't going to kill you. And besides, now that I think about it, Kathy did them last night, didn't she?
Yes, but she's supposed to be on every night this week.
She is?
Certainly. I've traded her my next 6 desserts for 3 turns at doing dishes.
Hmm. Well, you'll just have to take back 2 desserts because I sent Kathy upstairs to take a bath. I wanted to get to bed early for a change.
I don't want the desserts back. I'm trying to reduce. Ralph says that a girl, to look attractive, should be willowy.
Well, as far as Ralph and his opinions are concerned...
Hi, Mommy. Look at me.
Oh, dear. Kathy, didn't I tell you to take a bath and get your pajamas on?
Uh-huh. But aren't I pretty? I'm a jeweled princess.
Angel, what are you doing with my good necklace? Haven't I asked you time and again not to get into my jewelry?
Well, I sort of happened to find these.
Just sort of happened to, eh?
Mm-hmm. They were just kind of bunched up over in the corner.
Over in what corner?
The corner of that box that you keep them in.
I thought so. Well, that takes care of that hiding place.
You know you're supposed to be doing these dishes, Squirt. Well, Mommy told me to go upstairs and take a bath.
And why aren't you up there doing it? Now, you hurry and jump in that tub and then into bed.
Aw, gee, it's early. Can't I be a jewel princess for just 10 more minutes?
No.
You heard what Mother said. Either get upstairs or do the dishes like you're supposed to.
Aw, turn blue.
That's a fine way for a jeweled princess to talk.
Margaret!
Hark! Yonder cometh the king. Oh, brother.
Margaret, you remember Floyd Claiborne, don't you?
No, I don't believe I do.
Yes, you do. He used to work at the post office.
Well, I don't place him.
Well, anyway, there's a funny piece about him in the paper here.
Hi, Daddy. I'm a jeweled princess.
That's fine, kitten. It says here in this article...
You hurry to bed, J.P.
Oh, all right. Can't have any fun around here.
Margaret, do you think you ought to let her run around with that jewelry on? She's liable to lose it. But anyway, this piece about Floyd. Margaret, are you wearing your wedding ring to do the dishes?
Why, yes.
I thought you said one of the stones was loose in it.
Well, it is a little.
You're going to lose it down the drain if you're not careful. You're as bad as Kathy.
What's this big funny piece about Floyd?
Oh, well, briefly, Floyd's wife went to live with her mother.
Yes, that certainly is funny.
Well, the funny part is the way the whole thing started. She was having him hang a picture for her, and she kept changing her mind where she wanted it. And he kept pounding nails, and finally pounded a big hole in the wall. Plaster, everything fell down.
May I go now, Mother? Not yet, Betty. We're not through with the dishes.
Are you interested in hearing this or not?
Oh, I'm listening.
So anyway, old Floyd refused to fix the wall. Said it was her fault. She claimed the hole in the wall caused a draft, which was undermining her health. So he told her to move someplace where it would be healthier. And so she did.
Is that all of it?
Yeah. Teach me how people can let themselves get worked up over some little insignificant thing. Just let it run away with them.
Let's hurry and get these done, Mother. I've got some studying to do.
All right.
Better watch that ring, Margaret.
Oh, I know, dear. I'll be careful.
Dad!
I just mentioned it, that's all.
Yes, dear.
Dad!
Yes, Bud, I'm coming. That soapy water makes things pretty slippery, you know.
Yes, dear. I suppose I should take the ring off. If anything happened to it now, I'd never hear the last of it.
Mommy!
Kathy, what are you doing down here? I told you to take a bath.
Well, the plug thing in the bathtub is stuck again. And the water just keeps on running out.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll go up and fix it. Finish the dishes, Betty.
You better help me finish these, Squirt. You're getting off easy as it is.
I couldn't help it. Mommy told me to go upstairs.
Betty, telephone!
I'm coming.
Finish the dishes, Shrimpo. Oh, I don't have to. A ring. Boy. Da-da-da-dum. Da-da-da-dum.
Say, Margaret,
Daddy.
Oh, hello, kitten. I thought the mother was out here.
He's upstairs plugging the tub.
Doing what?
Fixing the bathtub so the water won't run out.
Oh. Well, when she... Wait a minute. What ring is that you've got on your thumb?
I think it's Mommy's. How do I look in it? Married?
Give it to me. I'll fix that loose stone right now. No use taking chances with a thing like that.
Can I help you fix it, Daddy?
No, you stay there and work on those dishes. I'll be in the den.
Darn old dishes.
Hey, Bud.
Yeah?
See if you can find me some tweezers. I've got a little stone setting to do.
I thought you were going to help me with my arithmetic.
I can do both. There's probably some tweezers upstairs in the bathroom.
Better knock off that ring down the furnace vent.
I won't. Now, get the tweezers.
Okay. Hey, Mom, when you come down, bring some tweezers with you.
Oh, no. Go up and bring them yourself.
She'll bring them down. And besides, I got to get these problems. Listen to this one, Dad. I think they must have it wrong in the book.
I wish you'd get those tweezers.
If a locomotive traveling 75 miles an hour goes from point A to point B in 9 hours and 45 minutes... how long will it take the locomotive to make the same run traveling at 30 miles an hour?
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, if the train can do 75, why do they want to cut it down to 30? The engineer must have rocks in his head.
But they merely made up that problem as a mathematical...
Boy, the stuff they try to cram into you at school nowadays.
Well, look, Bud...
Are you in the den, dear?
Yes, we're in here.
Who was it that wanted the tweezers?
Dad does.
I've got a little repair job here.
Well, there's some repairing you can do upstairs, too. I can't get the stopper in the bathtub to work.
All right, I'll go up and take a look at it. Bud, get me a screwdriver and a wrench and bring them upstairs.
But I've got to get this arithmetic.
Hurry up, Bud.
Holy cow. I have to do everything around this joint.
Hi, Mommy. Is the bathtub okay now?
Not quite, Angel, but your father's gone up to fix it. So you run upstairs and get undressed right away.
Okay, okay.
Has Betty finished the dishes?
No, she's on the phone, probably talking to old Ralph.
Oh, dear. Well, you run upstairs.
I will, pretty soon. Here's Mommy's ring on the table. Da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-dum.
What are you doing here in the den? I thought I told you to finish the dishes.
Well, Mommy told me to go right upstairs.
Well, why don't you do it then?
I'm going. Da-da-da-dum.
Mother!
I'm out in the kitchen. Come out here if you want to talk to me.
Mother, I was just talking to Ralph on the phone, and he wants me to meet him at the library.
Well, the dishes aren't done yet, you know.
But, Mother, I told Ralph I'd meet him.
Well, if there's still time after we get these everlasting dishes done, fine.
Creepers, it'll be too late then. Ralph will think I stood him up deliberately. Janie Ligger will be at the library, and he'll start looking at her. Then she'll pretend she's afraid to walk home alone, so he'll offer to drive her home.
Well, if Ralph's no more dependable than that, it's high time you found it out.
They'll probably take a moonlight drive.
Oh, stop it. There's no moonlight tonight.
That's even worse.
Well, if you'd stop talking and start working, you could go to the library yourself. The dishes are all washed.
That's neat.
Well, Betty, if you... Oh, my goodness. My ring. Where is it?
What?
It's gone. I must have knocked it into the water. And now it's gone down the drain.
Are you sure?
Well, it's not on the windowsill. I put it right here.
Maybe it fell on the floor.
Well, I can't see it anywhere. And I'm sure now that I heard something drop into the dishwater.
Well, what can we do?
I don't know. Maybe we can get a long wire, fish it out of here. If it hasn't gone too far down. For heaven's sake, don't say anything about this to your father.
Oh, I think I hear him coming.
The bathtub's okay now. Where shall I put the screwdriver?
Well, where'd you find it?
In the toolbox in the basement.
Well, all right. Put it back there, then. No, wait. Give it to me.
What do you want it for?
Oh, I have a little repair work to do.
Bud! Come here, Bud!
Uh-oh. He sounds like he means business.
Bud!
Coming, Dad.
Here, Betty, you take the screwdriver and see if you can get the drain cap.
Come here, Bud, in the den.
What is it, Dad?
What did you do with Mother's wedding ring?
I didn't do anything with it. Last I saw it, it was right on the table here. That's where you left it.
Well, it's not here now. I wonder if Kathy... No, she's upstairs.
Well, maybe it fell down into the hot air register.
That's just what I'm afraid of.
Holy cow. Hey, wait a minute. Betty went through here to answer the phone. Maybe she picked it up.
Yeah, that's an idea. Betty! Betty!
I'll bet she saw it and picked it up.
What is it, Father?
Betty...
Oh, by the way, Father, you haven't seen Mother's ring, have you?
Ring? Who, me?
Yes, it was on the windowsill in the kitchen.
Let's see now. Ring.
Well, it was just a thought. What did you want me for, Father?
Nothing. Nothing important. Forget what it was now.
Betty! Coming, Mother.
Well, that shoots that possibility.
What are you going to do now, Dad?
There's just one thing to do. Go down in the basement and open up the furnace vent.
Open the furnace vent? Yipe!
And whatever you do, don't say anything to your mother about this. After that lecture I gave her about carelessness, I'd never hear the end of it.
Anybody seen a wedding ring? There's one missing at the white frame house on Maple Street. In fact, there are two entirely separate searching parties looking for it. One, headed by Jim Anderson, is Operation Furnace Vent. The other, guided by Margaret Anderson, is Operation Sink Drain. Let's look into the kitchen now, where Margaret and daughter Betty are about to get the search underway. Like this.
Hold the flashlight a little higher.
I can't see anything down that pipe, can you?
No, there's no chance of fishing it out from up here. We'll just have to take something off under the sink.
Why don't you call the plumber?
Well, if I do that, your father will find out I've lost the ring. I'd much rather keep this as quiet as possible. See if that big wrench is in the cabinet on the back porch, will you?
What a family. Janie Liggett's probably swooning over Ralph at the library, and I have to stay home and take the sink apart.
Hurry, Betty.
Well, I'm looking.
Of all the times to drop the ring down there. Did you find the wrench?
Well, I found something. Is this a wrench?
Yes, that's it. Now, let's see if we can get under the sink here.
Oh, Mother.
Well, I've seen your father take something off down here. I think he calls it an elbow or a shoulder or something. Hold the flashlight.
How do you know the ring's in there anyway?
Well, there's this elbow somewhere that's supposed to catch things, according to your father. I know he took it off the time Aunt Martha dropped her earring down the sink. Hold the light over a little.
Look out. Somebody's coming. It sounds like Father.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Hide the flashlight.
Get rid of the wrench.
Hey, Mom.
Oh, for Pete's sake, it's only Bud.
We're all here, Bud.
What are you doing?
Finishing up the dishes. Why do you have to be so nosy?
Who's nosy?
Betty and I were just talking. What's the matter?
Nothing.
Well, then what are you doing?
What are you looking at me for?
Who's looking at you?
What do you want, Bud?
Oh, I was looking for the little wrench and screwdriver, the ones Dad was using.
Oh. They're here by the refrigerator.
Oh, thanks.
What are you doing?
Nothing. Dad's just fixing some stuff.
Well, he's probably waiting for you.
Yeah.
Well, go, go.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Why do you keep saying, what's the matter?
You keep looking at me. Why do you keep looking at me?
We're not.
Holy cow, I never saw such a family. All they do is keep looking at me.
Bud!
I'm coming.
Bud?
Yeah?
Tell your father I'll be busy in the kitchen for a while.
Okay.
Hurry up, Bud. What took you so long?
I don't know. They just keep looking at me.
Who?
Mom and Betty. When I went in the kitchen, they had funny looks, big eyes, like they'd never seen me before.
You didn't tell them what we were doing, did you?
No.
All right. Let's go quietly. Down to the basement. Now, if I can see where that pipe from the den comes down to the furnace...
Want me to go up to the den and haul it down?
No. If Mother finds out I lost her ring, I'm in trouble.
Oh, it's okay. She said she was going to be busy in the kitchen.
Good. Now, let's see. There's the pipe from the living room. And the den would be over there.
Gee, here's my old pogo stick.
Well, this has to be the pipe to the den. If something dropped in the vent, it would probably slide down about to here. Bud, get off that pogo stick.
Okay.
Turn that handle there above the furnace. Shut off the heat in this pipe.
Ouch, this thing's hot.
Well, use the screwdriver.
How do you know the ring's down on the pipe?
It has to be. It was on the table right by the vent. Somebody probably knocked it off. This was where we found Uncle Fred's cufflink the time he dropped it down the living room vent. Now, get over on the other side of the pipe while I unscrew this connection.
The guy could get stuck in here.
Well, just hold it.
Watch it, Dad. The whole pipe's going to come down.
Well, hold it.
How can I hold it? It's on top of my head.
Well, don't move.
Don't move, he says.
Uh-oh, who's that?
Father, are you down there?
Yes, I'm down here. What do you want, Princess?
What are you doing, Father?
Oh, just fixing the furnace.
Bud, why are you standing there balancing that pipe on your head?
Oh, me?
He's helping me.
Oh.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing. What's the matter with you?
Princess.
Why does everybody keep looking at me?
I can't help it. I can't turn my head.
What do you want, Princess?
Mother wanted to know if the hammer was down here.
What does she want the hammer for?
Oh, she's fixing some little thing in the kitchen.
Oh. Well, here's the hammer. You'd better hurry, Princess. Your mother's probably waiting for you.
What's the matter?
Nothing's the matter.
Why do you keep looking at me?
Betty.
All right, I'm going.
Well, keep going.
I never saw such people. Everybody acts so crazy.
Tell your mother I'll be busy down here for a while, Princess.
All right, Father.
Hurry, Betty.
I'm coming, Mother.
Quick, give me the hammer. Now, you hold the wrench on the drain pipe, and I'll pound on the end of it.
Oh, creepers, the things a person has to do in this house.
What's your father doing?
He and Bud are doing something with the furnace.
I just hope it keeps him busy for a while. If he comes up here, I know he'll ask where my ring is.
Take it easy, Dad.
Don't pop it, Bud.
What in the world are they doing down there?
Well, they acted awfully strange. Just kept looking at me.
Well, get ready with the hammer. We've got to get this off and get the ring out before your father finishes down there. All right. Now pound the end of the wrench. Not on the end, Betty, on the side. I'm trying to loosen this pipe.
How can I hammer in here? No room under this sink. I can't see anything.
Ouch!
Your head's in the way, Mother.
You're stepping on my ankle.
Here comes Father.
Oh, dear. Get out from under here, quick.
My bracelet's caught.
Mom!
Oh, it's Bud again.
Hey, Mom, are you... What's Tallulah doing under the sink?
Never mind the bright remarks.
Well, what are you doing?
She's looking for something, Bud. What do you want?
Dad wants the pliers.
They're down in the basement.
They are?
Well, go on, go on. You heard her say they were down in the basement.
How'd you get soot all over you, Bud?
Oh, we're fixing something. What are you doing?
We're fixing something.
Well, don't stand there, stupid. Go on. Father's waiting for you.
Okay, okay.
Tell your father if he's going to fix the furnace to change his clothes.
Okay, okay.
Did you get the pliers?
Mom says they're down here.
Well, look in the toolbox and hurry, Bud. This takes much longer. Your mother's going to get curious and come down here.
There's something funny going on. They act kind of goofy up there.
I don't care how they act as long as they stay up there. Now, loosen that wire that holds up the pipe while I brace it.
What about the other end?
I'll hold it. You just take the wire off.
Okay, if you say so.
Now watch it, Bud. Watch it. Grab the pipe.
I can't. It's hot.
Look out, Doc!
What happened?
You unhooked the wrong wire. Everything came down. Soot all over.
Boy, are you black.
What a mess. We'll never find that ring. Can't even tell now which pipe went to the den.
Turn it off, Mother.
Where? Where?
What in the world's going on up in the kitchen?
What's going on down here?
It's going in the dining room. Close the door.
Dad, it's raining.
Raining? Say, water coming down. Where's it coming from?
Jim! Jim, come quick!
Uh-oh. Come on, Bud.
Holy cow.
Oh, what's the matter, honey?
Pipe under the sink. Water's coming out.
Oh.
Father, hurry.
Yeah, I flood.
Margaret.
Don't ask any questions, dear. Under the sink. Turn off the water.
Get a bucket and mop.
Where?
On the porch.
Now, if I can find a valve under here. What the... There. Margaret, what in the name
dear,
of...
Dear, I was just trying to... Jim, what happened to you? Soot all over you.
Oh, the pipes in the basement fell down. Why did you take the pipes under the sink apart?
Why did you take the pipes in the basement apart?
Yes, what's come over this family? Is everybody insane?
What were you doing, Margaret?
Well, I suppose I'll have to confess. You cautioned me about my wedding ring, so I put it up on the windowsill. And then something happened. It fell into the sink and down the drain.
Down the drain? Is that why you took the pipe off? Honey, I took your ring into the den to tighten the stone, and it fell off the table into the furnace vent.
Oh, no. Is that why you took down all the pipes in the basement?
Well, I... didn't want to tell you I'd lost it after sounding off the way I did.
Where's the ring now?
Did you find it, dear?
No, not exactly. But it has to be down in those pipes somewhere.
Hi, Daddy.
Oh, hello, kitten.
Look at my thumb. Mommy's wedding ring just fits.
Yes, it does, doesn't it? Margaret, your ring.
Kathy, where did you find it?
On the table in the den.
You've had it all the time?
Sure. Were you looking for it?
Yes. Sort of.
Margaret, I think we'd better sit down.
What's the matter with Mommy and Daddy?
Shrimp boat parents sometimes do the darndest things.
Well, there was quite a turmoil around the Anderson household this evening. But the house is still standing. A little work on the part of the furnace man and the plumber should have things back in shape and all the pipes reconnected. It's an hour or so later, and Jim and Margaret are bailing the last of the water out of the kitchen. Like this.
Did you get back of the refrigerator, dear?
Yes, I think the tide is ebbing.
Well, at least we got a nice clean floor out of it.
Honey, if only you'd told me that you were looking for your ring.
Dear, if you'd only told me.
Well, live and learn. Now, let's forget about the whole thing.
That's fine with me.
Hey, Dad, you see this in the paper?
See what?
Story here about a fellow almost wrecked his house trying to hang up a picture. Knocked a hole in the wall, his wife went to live with her mother.
Old man.
Yeah?
Put the paper away. We're all going to bed.
When we'll be back with Father Knows Best, starring Robert Young as Jim Anderson. Until then, good night and good luck from the makers of Post 40% Brand Flakes, America's largest selling brand flakes, and Instant Postum, the drink that's entirely caffeine-free.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Father Knows Best on Tuned 2 yesterday, an NBC broadcast from the later 1940s. Bringing to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us again for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for listening.